John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I sure appreciate the Lord being good to us. If I'm in that place, let's stand. John chapter 19. And I'll read just one text, and that's the verse the Lord put on my heart. I've always thought this and read it, and I guess, but they said it like this, that a text out of context is a pretext. And simply what that means, if you take one text out of its context, then it don't really mean anything. But I hope that I'm probably going to do that this morning. And it may be a little out of context with the whole thing, but it'll be very much in context with the whole Bible. Amen. So look at what the Bible says here in chapter 19. We're going to read verse number 28. You pray, ask the Lord to help. Bible says this, the Lord Jesus is up on the cross. He's already made mention of the four sayings out of seven sayings that he's going to say. And I think it does us all good to be mindful of the fact that when he says everything that he says, there's nothing easy about that. The Lord Jesus is not standing on easy street whenever he's saying what he's saying. But with every agonizing breath, he has to put all the weight on those hands that have been outstretched. He has to pierce those nerves, take in a big, deep breath, and then he says things that are for our benefit and for our learning. And I want to thank God for the last words of Christ on the cross. Amen. Notice the fifth of those sayings comes in verse number 28. The Bible says this. Says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning one more time. And God, we sure are thankful that, God, you let us come back to the house of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight. I don't know really how to express the intent of my heart. But God, I'm sure glad that I'm not in a jungle in Africa somewhere worshiping the mountains or the lakes. And God, I want to thank you today, and God, that I'm not in some liberal place. Father, where I've been taught that there was no God. But God, I sure thank you. And Lord, that just as we heard in Sunday school, I thank you, Lord, that the sweet word of God came passing over my soul. God, I'm sure glad today. And Father, that I can attest that the only difference between me and those in jail, the only difference between me and those in hell, is the good grace of the Lord Jesus Christ had reached down to where I was. And God, I thank you, Lord, that apart from you, I'm nothing, and I know it. But God, I pray for a few minutes, and would you stir our heart, and fill us up with the Holy Ghost, and give us good unction to preach with, and to help us to honor Christ. Father, I sure love you today. I ask you, Lord, one more time. Father, what's been one of my favorite things to say to you, if this is the last time that I ever get to say anything, and Lord, I pray, help me to say the best thing that I ever have said about you. And Lord, I love you. I bless your high and holy name. That's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to say this to you, what I understand. In verse number 28, one of the great statements in your Bible has said the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates that he is fully sovereign. He's fully God and fully man. Let me say to you again, thank God that he's not 50% man and 50% God, but he is the God man. He's 100% God and he's 100% man. As you've heard us say before, the only 200% being that there ever has been. And on the cross of Calvary, I like what it says, you know he's God, because as he's dying, and the Bible says, knowing at all things were now accomplished. That is to say, there's one more verse that he needs to fulfill. That is Psalm chapter 69 and verse number 21. And so the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his sovereignty, he's standing there on the cross that day, hanging for my sins and for your sin. And he's so much God that he knows every last jot and tittle that must be fulfilled. And at the same time, he is so much man that in that state
8, he says, I thirst. Amen. But I want to preach on this. That's the whole context of the verse. I'm going to preach on three words out of it. That's the first three words in your Bible. And verse number 28, the Bible reads these words. It says, after this, Jesus, amen. Thank God, I'm glad today that I've had some of them opportunities and times in my life when it was after this, there was Jesus, amen. I thought about this. Question is, after what? Amen. He said, after this. I thought about a few things today. I'll give you a few of them, and then I'll be done. I thought about, thank God, after it was the darkest point in his life. I mean, listen, you understand, there has never been darkness like there was darkness on this day. There was darkness that could be felt in the days of Egypt. And my friend, the darkness that was around them, that was so heavy it could be felt. But on this day, for just a moment of time, that before there was the sun, there was the light. And for a few moments of time on Calvary, the light went out. It was the darkest that it has ever been. That was on this day. And I got to thinking about some folks, no doubt, that's sitting in this room today. There's been some dark times in your life. But aren't you glad, thank God, that after this, there was Jesus. Amen. I mean, I thought about what the text says here, and you'll just have to bear with me for just a minute. I thought about not only after his darkest time, but it was after his quietest time. And you understand there had always been fellowship between Christ and the Father. But you remember as he cries out that day, when he really wants to hear from heaven, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, I'll say this to you, dear friend. And so many a times in our life, and we'll go through some dark times, and those are okay. And those dark times, we're all going to have them, amen. But I'll tell you, when you go through those quiet times, and you're not hearing from heaven, and you don't hear from God, and man, those are difficult to go through, amen. And you say, oh, preacher, and we always hear from heaven. And you're doing better than I'm doing, amen. Thank God, listen, you're doing better than I'm doing. I know these folks, and they act like every time they pray, they hear that sweet assurance from heaven. But I'm telling you, that's not been the way I've lived. It's been a many a days, and I bowed on my knees by faith, and I prayed by faith, and I didn't hear nothing, and I got up, and I walked by faith, amen. Thank God. But I'm glad after this, amen, there was Jesus, thank God. I thought about on his hardest, on his darkest day, and we find on his quietest day. I'd say on Calvary that day, and that was his heaviest day. Amen. Ever felt like the weight of the world's on your shoulders, and you can't bear no more? Amen. I'm sure nobody else ever feels like that. Everybody's life in here is probably pretty easy. Amen. But I'm saying they sometimes, thank God, and just the weight of everything, and the weight of that comes on your shoulders. But I'm telling you, ain't never been on your shoulders like it was on his shoulders this day. And the Bible said in 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Amen. And not for our sins only, but for the sins also of the whole world. Amen. I'd say this to you today, thank God, that the weight of the sins of the world that was on his shoulder. Amen. But after this, Jesus. Amen. I mean, I don't know how to explain it to you. I was just reading my Bible, and the Holy Ghost got to etching those places in my heart. I thought, I sure am glad I've had some of those this moments. But I'm glad after this, Jesus, amen. And I'd like to preach on a few of them, if the Lord would help me. Look in your Bible to the book of Job chapter 42. I'm going to give you three or four today, and I'm going to be done, amen. Hey, here's what your Bible says back there in Job at chapter number 42. Hey, you understand Job had a pretty, y'all agree, had a pretty rough go of it for a while, amen. I Right now, smile at me or nod your head or something. Amen. I mean, Job had a pretty rough go of it for a while. But here's what your Bible reads at the end of it. And the Word of God says this in Job 42, verse number 16. He said, after this, Job lived Job 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. And we find victory in the next verse. So Job died, being old and full of days. I'm glad the Bible says after this Job lived. Amen. After this, thank God, Job lived. Amen. Amen. I got to thinking about, I feel like I'm hemmed in this morning a little bit. But I got to feeling like, thank God, oh, Job in his life in that day. And no doubt he felt like he was going to die. And now listen, they probably ain't nobody in this room ever hardly suffered like Job suffered for that amount of time. Amen. I thought about, listen, it wasn't just that it was a suffering, friend. It was that it was an attack from the enemy. He wanted Job out of the picture. But oh, thank God, I'm glad. Hey, could I just say this and maybe encourage your heart? The devil tried to destroy everything around him, but he could not destroy God's purpose for him. Amen. And if you'd ever let that get in your heart, man, you're talking about shouting on another level. Thank God. And what you find in Job chapter number 1, and so when the sons of God presented themselves, and there the Bible says Satan presented himself also. And he said, where have you been? He said, well, running to and fro on the whole earth. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, one that's upright and escheweth evil. And thank God. He said, yeah. He said, doth not Job serve thee for naught? In other words, the only reason Job serves you is because you've been good to him. Amen. He said, but I'll tell you what, let's just get rid of some of Job's stuff and let's see how this thing shakes out. And then one day, thank God, Job, I mean, the best I can tell, thank God you find there, he had about 3,000 camels and had 3,000 sheep and had 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-ass. And one day, hey, it's all gone. Amen. I mean, listen, thank God, you're talking about a financial collapse. Everything he owned, he went from being rich to being poor. Amen. He went from being up here to being down here. And yet after this, Job lived. Amen. Hey, thank God, I'm telling you, good neighbor, hey, it's a good place to be when you realize that no matter what happens in your life, as long as Jesus is on the other side of after this, it's going to be all right. Amen. And so after this, Job lived. I thank God, listen, after his finances were gone, Job lived. But I thought about this. After his family was attacked, amen, his home was destroyed, his children are gone, and yet Job lived. Amen. I can't imagine what it's like to be in that position. And then one after another, your family's gone. Hey, listen, your fortune's gone, your family's gone, and no friends to be found. And your wife's standing there, thank God. And there's been an attack on your finances. There's been an attack on your family. There's an attack on your faith. I guess everybody in here, I mean, you're always selling good. Amen. And got the sweet winds blowing in your sails. And thank God, sun shining. And you always hear birds chirping. Amen. I mean, thank God. But I'm glad that on my worst day, I can come in the house of God and put my finger on some text and say, after this, Jesus. Amen. I mean, listen, I don't know. Look here, friend. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And it might strip everything I have. But I'm telling you, I'll not always look like that. If you come by, there'll be a day, friend, and you'll come visit Brother Kevin in the hospital, and you'll pray, and I'm still going to die, and I'm going to be feeble, I'm going to look old. And yet after this, Jesus, amen, this world is not our home, thank God. This is not what we're preparing for. This is just a little place where we can get real good and ready for a little while. Because after this, there's Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, no doubt. after his finances was gone, after his faith was tested, after his friends couldn't be found, after his flesh was down. I thought about, thank God, listen, and the devil's trying to get him to curse God and die. His wife's trying to get him to curse God and die. I mean, everybody's trying to get him to quit. And yet after this, Job lived. Amen. And look here, friend, I got to thinking about, you understand what it must have been. I mean, look here, friend, one blow after another blow after another blow after another blow. But the end of the book is still the same. And it said after this, Job lived. Amen. Thank God, I don't understand how all that works necessarily. But I promise you, whenever Job got up at the end of this book, that the devil had to say, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong. I tried to take away his family. I tried to destroy his faith. But you understand, one of the best passages in that whole blessed Bible is whenever the Bible says that Job arose, thank God, rent his clothes, and shaved his head, and he bowed down, and he worshiped. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to know after this there's Jesus. Amen. I mean, look here, friend, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, when it comes church time, I can't hardly wait to get inside the door house. I come in, bless God. And listen, I know we don't always shout her out. I like it when we do, though. Amen. I ain't going to lie about it, thank God. I like about it when we do. Amen. But sometimes that's not always needful. And sometimes God has to pass by our way and to just remind us that there may be a little bit of life to live. But after this, there's Jesus, and don't you forget it. After the devil's sent his best shot, after it looks like your life's been destroyed, and when you're sitting up yonder on an ash heap, and all you've got left is to sift through the ashes of what it used to look like life, and you felt like nothing else is ever going to come from it, and thank God when it looks like that there is no more future, and when it looks like that there is no more hope, and then thank God somewhere, man, that in Job chapter 38, that the Bible says, then God answered Job out of a whirlwind. I'm sure enough glad that after all this thing's done. And could I say this and just look up here and let me encourage your heart? The devil don't get the last word. Amen. The devil, I don't get to say the last thing. Amen. I've done read the last of this book. I know where the words written in red are. And Jesus said, surely I come quickly. I'm telling you, friend, the devil didn't get the last word of creation. He don't get the last word at the cross. It was Jesus who said, it is finished. Amen. And he'll not have the last word. And when it comes to his coming, and the devil be cast out in the lake of fire, and Christ will still be speaking. Amen. And thank God, after all of this, there's still Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes. I thought about what you find about Job in this text here. And that after all of this, there is still Jesus. After his body's exhausted, after the bulls have taken him over, after he's sat there for days, I mean in misery, and thank God after the whole thing, there's Jesus. He'll say, preacher, should that help us any? I think it helped Job, amen. He said, for I know my Redeemer liveth. And thank God, he said, Job 14, he said, though he should slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm telling you, thank God, it does something for the believer to know after all this thing, I mean after all this wraps up, thank God, yet Job lived. Amen. But I thought about this, one of my favorite after this is in the whole Bible. It comes in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, and the Bible after the church age. Let me just say it like this: after there's no more messages from the church, after there's no more ministry of the church, after there's no more mention of the church, and thank God after this, amen. And you say, what's this? After the bride's been completed, after the last one's gotten born again. Thank God, thank God. I'm talking about after the last number has been numbered. After the grace age is over. After the door down here has been shut. Thank God, the Bible says, John the Revelator, he said, after this, he said, behold, I looked, and a door was open in heaven. Amen. And the first voice that I heard, that was as it were a trumpet. He said, which said unto me, he said, come up hither, and I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. And boy, I like the next verse. He said, and immediately I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. I'm telling you, after this, Job lived. But after this, John looked. Amen. Oh, thank God. Unless I'd like to admit that. If there's a, could I say this? There's a lot of pretty good days in the Bible. Would you agree with that? I mean, I'd like to have been standing there, thank God, when they put three inside the fire. But they found out there was four in there. I'd like to have been there, thank God, that day. I'm going to put another stick on the fire right there. Amen. I'd like to have been there that day. And that Daniel was in the lion's den. I've told you many a time, I'd like to walk through the Red Sea. I'm just going to have to preach down here. Amen. I'm tearing that to pieces back there. I'd like to have been there during the Red Sea. And thank God and seen. And whenever God congealed those walls, I'd like days, a lot of days. And that man, I sure would have. I'd like to see with my own eyes. I'd like to watch them come home. And with 12 basketfuls. I mean, hallelujah. I'd like to have been sitting up on the Mount of Olives chase and have just been looking out yonder. And when the old stone was rolled back and they found out it was empty. It was empty. It was empty. But I'm telling you, it'd have been something. Had to have been standing with old John after he'd been brought out of that cauldron of oil, after he'd been burned and tormented. And tradition teaches us, this ain't scripture, but tradition teaches that they put out his eyes and they boiled his body and they thought it was over. He said, that fella right there, he ain't never going to say nothing for God no more. And I thank God, thank God. After this, he said, I looked. And he said, I saw a door that was open. I'm glad when the door of grace ends here, there'll be a door of grace open in heaven. And the church will be raptured out. And the folks standing around, they say, oh, man, I'd like to be rid of them church folk. And you'll have your wish on that day. Amen. And you say, what happens after this? I've got good authority in the scripture. After this, there'll be the worship of the Savior. Amen. I don't know about, look here, I don't know how to explain this to you. And to these folks, they say, man, won't we get bored with just worshiping God all the time? Thank God there ain't no chance in this world. Whenever you see Christ in all of his glory, and to thank God and you remind, you've got the perfect knowledge of every good thing he's ever done, and for your life that you'd ever grow weary worshiping as somebody who'd love you that much. Amen. And God has been awful good to us, ain't he? Thank God, thank God. I mean, listen, friend, the fact you're sitting here and not burning in hell is a pretty good reason why we aren't at least smiling. Amen. And thank God. I'm talking about after this, there'll be a Savior and he will be worshiped. Amen. After this, there'll be a welcoming of the saints of God. Now listen, look here, you may not like me down here, but if you're going to heaven, I'm going. Amen. Hell, thank God. Hey, like it, lump it, I don't know what to tell you. Amen. I done made my calling election sure. I get to go, thank God. And I'm happy about it. Amen. And you say, listen, preacher, I don't know about this or that. There's a lot of things I don't know what's going to happen in heaven. But I know if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, how you're going. Amen. How you might be mixed up. You might be messed up. But if your name's written down in heaven, if you've got repentance toward God and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God you get a go. Amen. I'm glad there's going to be a welcoming of the saints. You say, how many's going to be there? A whole bunch. Amen. A whole bunch. Thank God. A whole bunch. Amen. You say, how many's had? I'd say it's about 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. And you say, preacher, how big's that? It's more than you can count. Don't worry about it. Amen. Thank God. I'm telling you, I don't know who all is, and I don't know who all ain't. Hey, it's a pretty good idea I got of a few people who is there. How about the main person that'll be there? For sure, amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. I'm listening. My mom, my dad's still alive, and I thank God for it. How about when it comes that time, friend? Have the apple of heaven's eye. It's not your mama nor your daddy. It's not your boy or your girl. It's not your nephew or your niece. Have the crown jewel of heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the one, thank God, that'll still bear the wounds in his body. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the one that when we cast our eyes on and say, preacher, how do you know he's still got those wounds? Because the Bible says so. Amen. And the Bible says in the book of Zechariah that when he appears the second time, that is coming, and that he's going to lift out. And it says they're going to say, what are these wounds that are in thy hands? And he said, these with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. He'll still have the wounds. He'll still have the wounds. He'll still have the wounds. And all the believers will be able to look there and say, that was for me. That was for me. Thank God. And not for the best, but for the old wretches like you and I, and for the old sinners that deserve to die. And that was for us. That's a pretty good reason, Ty, and why we'll be excited to go to heaven. I'm telling you, thank God. I'll be worshiping the Savior. I'll be welcoming other saints. But there will be a war on the sinners. Amen. And God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth, amen. For 7 years, it will be hell on earth before hell's cast in the lake of fire. I'm telling you, friend, ain't a chance. Ain't a chance. Folks I know, they've done watched too many movies, and they think they're going to have too many opportunities. But if you've heard the gospel and the church is raptured out, if, listen, somewhere between this morning and tonight, if you come back tonight and you look around and most of all of us are gone, that's a real good indicator that you missed the rapture. Amen. And you'll say, preacher, we'll get saved then. Oh no, friend, you won't even know what's happened. You'll just say, where are they at? And you say, how do you know? Because 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2 teaches us that God will send you a strong delusion, that you'll believe a lie and be damned. Amen. And say, preacher, what do I do? After this, there needs to be Jesus. Amen. Oh, good friend, I'm telling you, there's going to be a day after this whole thing. I thought about after time's ended, after the world's grown tired of us, after everything's done. I mean, there's going to be a Jesus. And I thank God for it. After this, Job lived. After this, John looked. But after this, I want to say this. The last, I feel like the Lord wants me. I thought I might preach a little longer, but I might say this. How the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, it says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, judgment. Amen. After this, judgment. Thank God. How you might duck and avoid grace. How you might duck and avoid the church. How you might duck and avoid the preacher. But I'll promise you, good friend, there will be a day that man, woman, boy, and girl, they will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. After this, there will be judgment. After this, there will be judgment. After you've lived your life the way you want it, after you've made the choices that you wanted to make, after you've drawn your last breath, after you've clothed yourself for the last time, after you've prayed your last prayer, after you've thought your last thought, you will come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only two choices. Good neighbor, I want you to hear me. I understand the believer, how to be absent in the body, be present with the Lord. If you're an unbeliever, I thank God, as soon as you draw your last breath, And just like the rich man, in hell you'll lift up your eyes. But I'm telling you, that's not the end. There is a judgment for believers. Have a judgment seat of Christ. There is a judgment for the unbelievers. Have a great white throne judgment. You say, what's the difference? I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ where Christ is for me. If you go to the white throne judgment, you're going where Christ is against you. Amen. And say, preacher, I don't like that. That Christ is for you right now. He's for you right now. He's for you right now. He'd be your Savior today. He'll be your friend today. But if you continually reject Him, and the same one that's your Savior today, He'll be your judge tomorrow. I'm telling you, after this will be judgment. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. I'm saying to you, good name, you say, preacher, what's that look like? I believe we'll be judged for the believers. I believe we'll be judged based on how we lived. Amen. It'll be based on if we did what we wanted to do. If we was drinking beers and if we was doing scratch-offs and all that sort of thing. Listen, if we was living like the world, if we was dressing like the world, if we weren't separate, listen, I believe I'll be. We'll stand in judgment. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ecclesiastes, at chapter number 12, he said, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. He said, the Bible said to fear God and to keep His commandments. That says the whole duty of man. He said, but know this. He said that He'll bring everything into judgment, and those secret things, whether they be good or evil. Amen. I tell you, there ain't nobody getting away with nothing. Amen. As some men's sins are open beforehand, and some men's sins follow after. But I'm telling you, there's a day coming. I say all the time, I'd rather you know about what's wrong in my life right now as to be up there on that day and you find out then. Amen. I'm telling you, good friend, you hear me today. Every believer, all the secret things, all the hidden things, they'll be brought to light and they'll be shouted from the rooftop. I'm telling you, after this, there's judgment, amen. There's judgment. It'll be based on how we lived, be based on what we loved. Oh, friend, after this, judgment. I was thinking about this, listen. I'll tell on myself, that way nobody else has to get too mad at me. Whenever we go, and we've been playing soccer games down in Alabama this weekend, and I would throw this in. They're playing a championship game right now, and you notice where your preacher's at. Amen. Let me just say amen right there. You'll notice where them boys is at today. Amen. But whenever we was over there, Brother Josh, listen, there's two games that happen. There's the soccer game, and there's watching Brother Kevin. Whenever the soccer game's going on, I don't never say nothing ugly. But whenever one of them take off running, I can't help it, Brother Adam. Whenever there's something on the inside of me, when they take off running, I run with them a little bit. When they get to jumping, I jump with them a little bit. I can't help it, and they're getting ready to score. Hey, it was a team. They said that team's going to beat y'all. And listen, we beat them 6-1. Let me just throw that out there. I'm competitive, too. Amen. I'm competitive too, thank God. Had a lesson, they were 12 down the sideline. And Brother Billy got ready to score. And I was just like this right here. I said, go, son. Amen. But I want to tell you this. That does not compare to what it'll be like. And whenever we get to heaven, I'm telling you, thank God. Listen, good neighbor. And when we realize what we really love, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. How we can come in the house of God and be as calm as we are. Amen. Oh, we'll be brought into judgment for what we love. Be brought in judgment for what we live. Be brought into judgment for how we labor.
Yep.
Oh, listen, I was thinking about this. Could I? I know this probably not go the best in the world, but it'll be right. It'll be right. I was thinking about this, Brother Benny. I thought about folks and they say, man, just waiting for the Lord to lay that on my heart to do. I thought about what the Bible says. Listen, let me help you. Let me help you get it on your heart. Could I help you get it on your heart? You hear me say all the time, the Bible says, go out.
Yeah.
And in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Be witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Bible says also, thy word have I hid in my heart. So if you'll get that word right there in that text, you'll put in your heart, got to lay it on your heart. Amen. Hey, got to lay it on your heart. Got to lay it on your heart. Amen. I say praise God, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're here and you're lost after this judgment, after this, say, who's going to stand with me, preacher? Nobody. Nobody. So I'll wait on that day and I'll beg him to save me. Too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. After this judgment. Listen. Listen. Young folks, old folks, medium folks, everywhere between folks. You understand you got one shot. After this judgment. After this judgment. After this judgment. Make the decisions you make. But no. After this judgment. Say what you're going to say. But no. After this judgment. Do what you want to do. But no, after this judgment, amen. Listen, go where you want to go. But no, after all of this is over, you're going to look eyeball to eyeball with Christ, and there will be judgment. I'm telling you, friend, there's some after thises. I'm glad for the believer after this. There'll still be Jesus. Amen. Yeah. I've cleared my heart. Stand to your feet. I'm done preaching.